Hey there, everybody. Welcome to The Show Is So Gay. It's me, Ken. I am still traveling abroad in China, so I'm throwing one more Rainbow Rewind out for your listening pleasure. This time around, we're speaking with husband and husband comedy team Dick and Dwayne. Holy cow, did I love having them on the show. I promise you we will have them back in the near future. In the meantime, we will have a brand new episode for you next week. But for now, enjoy this one. Hey there, everybody. It is Wednesday, January 25th, 2012, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us an email. Send it to Ken at thisshowissogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to learn about all the fun things happening with our dog and pony little gay radio show. And of course, go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. So much to do on this week's show. It's time to start with a pair of guests. Hey, guests, are you guys ready to start off our show?
Yes.
Okay, good. This is a good thing. Let me introduce you. Dick and Dwayne are the world's only husband and husband comedy team in the tradition of Burns and Allen, Sonny and Cher, and the Smothers Brothers. Their brand of comedy can be described as part traditional burlesque, part old school stand-up, and part 1970s variety show with a good dose of Laverne and Shirley-esque physical shtick. That's quite the combination, gentlemen. The two met as teenagers in 1981, fell in love, and got married with rings from a gumball machine, which we will talk about. They began performing professionally in 1986 as the late night after show for Chippendales in New York City. Later, they were hired as performers writers for the long-running USA Network comedy show Up All Night, which I remember quite fondly. Dick and Dwayne continue to perform all over the country, and when not entertaining their Facebook and Twitter fans, they are hard at work at developing all different types of media, showcasing their talents. Dick and Dwayne, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Wow, we sound great.
You guys... Do you want to just bask in that for a little bit, or
yeah,
you...
that was good.
Yeah.
Although I wish we had something. I wish we were like the Out 100. We were listening to your interview with Jerry Jewell, and I said, "Oh, I want to be like a role model and have awards and stuff." But...
Dick and Dwayne on the 2012 Out 100 list, saying it makes it so.
Oh, yeah, good.
All right, done.
I like you.
It's like we broke the news just right here, so now they have no choice but to do it. We've so much to talk about. Are you gents ready?
Yes.
Okay. Well, as we ask all of our funny people, and we ask Jerry Jewell this and Judy Gold and all of our comics, we'll start with you, Dick. Where do you find the funny?
I just look at Dwayne. Pretty much. I mean, I think he's a fascinating character to me, and that's probably why I've been with him for so long, because he still continues to amaze me and fascinate me. So he says pretty dumb stuff all the time, and I just jot it down, and it works.
And Dwayne, do you concur with that?
I'm still wondering where the dog and pony is.
You have to come to Vermont to see him.
I want to see the dog and pony. That's why I'm here. I'm here to see the dog and pony.
It's a gay dog and pony show to boot, so it's a whole different breed of dogs and ponies.
Ah,
I know.
Good.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Well, then, Dwayne, tell us, take us back. Take us back, Dwayne, tonight. The year is 1981. You're hanging out in New Jersey. How did the magic happen?
Oh, this is good. Come on.
You know, Dick, I want to put Dick in a soundproof booth just so that we can test this out in a couple seconds.
I don't like this.
Well, see, the problem is that I usually do all the talking and he does the listening. So this is really good that you're asking Dwayne to do the talking.
I'm putting Dwayne on the spot. 1981, New Jersey. I was there in New Jersey in 1981. I apparently missed the magic. How did it happen for you?
Where were you?
I was in Bergen County, New Jersey in 1981 in New Jersey.
That's not far from New Brunswick.
Not at all.
Yeah, that's where we were. I was sitting in a lecture hall.
Okay.
Yeah, art history, I think it was like 101 or something like that. I look across the art history hall, and I saw a cute kid sitting there. And I said, "Oh yeah, he's kind of cute." But I was shy. And little by little, I worked my way across the room over the next ensuing days. And
it was weeks.
Was it weeks? Yeah. Next ensuing weeks.
Stay in the booth, Dick.
Oh, sorry. Ensuing. Dwayne, spell ensuing.
E-N-S-U-E-I-N-G.
All right, continue.
And so, yeah, you know, but he always had this chick sitting with him. And, you know, I didn't know if they were, you know, an item or if they were just friends. And then one day she wasn't there. So I sat in front of him. Came in late that day. Sat in front of him. I turned around and I said, so what are we looking at? Because it was art history, right? There was a slide up on the wall there.
Uh-huh.
So I said, so what are we looking at? And he looks at me.
He's giggling right now, yes.
His stories go on for so long, and he pulls out every detail.
He tells me that I'm not a good storyteller because I drag on and on.
I'm riveted. Keep going.
And I'm supposed to just, like, get right to the point. I don't know, there's no in-between for me. It's either you want to hear a story, I'm not going to tell you, or I mean, you're going to hear a story, you're going
to
hear everything.
I love this story. I don't have to live with you, but I love this story.
Wait a minute. All right,
go ahead.
So I turn around, and I say, what are we looking at? And he looks at me, and he takes his two hands, puts them in front of him, shakes them back and forth, and says, I'll show you my notes later. And I said, okay, all right.
He's gay.
But I don't want to say that because I don't buy into the stereotype.
Okay.
That the limp-wristed.
Yeah. You just happen to do that, and you just happen to be gay, but you're not that way. But, I mean, I hate, you know where I'm going?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I didn't even like saying that, but it just happened to be true.
That's what you thought. Well, I think things have changed in 30 years.
Yeah.
I think probably the stereotypes were truer back then. Or
no, I don't think it was any different. I don't think it's any different. Ever.
I'm going to let you two work this out. It's kind of fun to listen to. I feel like I'm in couples counseling right now.
But don't you always say that the gaydar doesn't work anymore and you can't tell who's gay anymore?
Of course the gaydar doesn't work
because
anymore.
Because the straight guys are more effeminate.
Look extremely, you know, yeah.
Or act.
Yeah.
Effeminate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's my point. I think maybe 30 years ago you could tell who was...
Oh, I got your point. Yeah.
I get your point.
Yeah, I got it.
We're here when you need us, guys, so you just check in every now and then.
Oh,
and...
sorry. Next.
I got to start using that line, though. I have never used the line of, I'll show you my notes later. apparently it's quite effective, way better than the dog and pony show line that I've been using. So I gotta get on that. All right. So then, at some point, this relationship obviously blossomed. Notes were shown, and people can't see that I'm putting air quotes around that one.
Wait a minute. I'll tell you something else.
Oh, tell me.
Yeah, he said, "I'll copy my notes down for you and give them to you."
Yeah.
I was like, "Whoa, that's great. All right.
Wow.
I don't have to do any work."
Yeah. Well, I was a little more submissive than I am now.
Yes, I'm willing to do that now.
No, you didn't tell him what else I said that first day.
Oh, what'd you say?
I should tell him?
Yeah.
I said I love you. And he got a little concerned.
Yeah, that was after class, yeah.
I meant it. I was in love, and it was like love at first sight. And people say it, they don't know if that's true or not, but I think it's true because, I mean, that it can happen.
Wow.
I knew that I was in love with him. And we were pretty much a couple from that first day as far as I was concerned. And I had to convince him. It took about a month. And here we are.
Huh. But then at one point you said, all right, so this is going well. We're going to start performing together?
A few years later.
Right.
Yeah, we were like club kids. We were going out all the time in New York. And really, it was a great time in the 80s. There were a lot of great performers and performance artists. And finally, yeah, we just were like, well, why are we in the audience watching this when we are creative people and we could do just as good, if not better, than these people that are entertaining us? And so
right.
We just got up and started doing it.
What do you remember from that first time you two got up there?
I remember bombing because we just jumped at the first opportunity that came our way, and someone we knew was putting together an after show at Chippendales. some sort of, he needed some entertainment after the strippers were done. if there were like still women hanging out there that wanted to be further entertained. And they...
Oh, okay, so it wasn't to get them to go home.
Well, it worked out that way. But we were doing sort of a very, like, East Village gay alternative sort of performance.
How many more adjectives can you put in there? East Village alternative gay.
And these women that had just watched, left they were brain. Horny, and they just watched these strippers, and then we came out with makeup on, because it was the androgynous 80s, and hair pieces, and singing 60s.
We were doing like a lounge act, is what we were doing.
Okay.
Lounge act. It was actually very funny.
It was great.
It was funny. It was funny. It's still funny today.
Did they not think so, the women there at the Chippendales concert?
Here's the thing. They're broads who've just been drinking and watching
strippers.
Okay.
They want more... They want more of that.
And we weren't delivering.
They wanted to get some. And, but, you know.
Well, someone came up to us after the show and they said, you know, why are you doing this? You're in the wrong venue. You should be downtown. You should be in the East Village. So we moved there and continued to perform there for a few years.
Now, Margaret Cho has this whole bit in her act about how the Chippendales dancers are gay. It strikes me that you guys are in a position to actually comment on that.
Well, we shared, that was really fun, sharing the dressing room with them.
Yeah,
we were drooling. We were drooling.
But, yeah, remember the one who was like, ah, where'd you get that eye makeup? Remember?
Yeah. Well, there's you're doing a gay
stereotype. I'm doing it again.
Yeah, they're gay.
You should have just gone to them. I mean, the way that I have learned in the past few minutes that you can determine if someone is gay, if you go up to any of the Chippendales dancers and say, hey, I'll show you my notes later, that apparently works. This is an instructional podcast. We really help. We help people determine things like this.
Or if you ask them, what do you think of my makeup?
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. See, this is, we're here to help people, folks. We're challenging what it means to be gay. Now, yeah. You spent a lot of time in the East Village, and gosh knows that having lived in New York City for quite a few years, seeing that area in particular in New York City change, and the clientele change, and the different types of bars come and go, how did you guys remain a constant through all that?
Beats me.
Okay.
No, you're asking how we've been able to maintain a relationship.
Oh, yeah, right? Absolutely.
Yeah, all right.
The relationship? I thought he was talking about comedy.
Oh, wait, what are you talking about?
I don't know. Whatever you answer is going to work. I've learned also in the past 10 minutes that just to put a couple words out there and let you guys go. And wherever it goes, it's going to work.
Because we'll get totally confused regardless of what you say.
Tricky rabbit. Yeah, tricky rabbit.
Well, comedy-wise, we switched away from doing that sort of alternative stuff, and we tried to be a little more mainstream. And that's what we did in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right, honey?
Yeah.
And then what? Go on.
And then on a cold winter's night, I don't know where we're going with
what
this.
Is that? On a cold winter's night? What does that even mean?
Do I have to add strings now to the podcast?
Yeah. Come on, where's the music?
Oh, my God. Was that like song lyrics or something?
No, it wasn't the song lyrics. Yeah, it all started in a 500-watt radio station.
Okay, you're doing Ted Baxter. Okay, I got it.
I have all these questions. I just don't know if I should go anywhere near them with you two.
Go ahead. Just throw them at us, baby.
What was the question I was working on here?
I don't even know anymore. How's Dawn?
Oh, how's Dawn?
There you go.
Oh, you know about Dawn.
Who doesn't know about Dawn?
Yeah, Dawn is, you know.
Dawn, although, for people who don't know, who is Dawn?
Dawn is our cat. And, it's such a cliche that people say, what's the thing we hear all the time people tell us?
Cats choose you.
Right. No, the other one we hate that people tell us all the time, we say, please don't say that again because I can't hear it again.
Dogs have masters, cats have slaves.
Right.
Okay.
But it's true. It's true. I mean, we are total slaves to her, and we didn't want this situation. We've always been just the two of us, and now we're a threesome.
Yeah, but she's so damn cute. That's the problem.
Yeah. I'm very new to cat ownership.
Oh, got one, huh?
I just recently, like a month and a half ago, got one.
Was it similar to our situation where it found you?
I feel, well, he needed some convincing.
He needed some convincing.
Yeah. I was like, well, damn it, I'm single now again, so I need another sentient being in this apartment. So I went to the shelter, and then he shied away from me, but I was persistent. I told him that I had notes to show him later, and that worked.
Yeah, don't say I love you too soon.
I said it on the first day, and he gave me that look.
But it works.
It works. I want to talk a little bit about body image, because you guys have, according to your Facebook and looking at pictures, you have no qualms about that. Yes, we can strip down and be comfortable, and we work really hard on our physiques and on nutrition and on fitness. And as you well know, body image is a really big deal in the gay community. And it's something that a lot of gay men struggle with. And the one thing that I find fascinating about the two of you, there's one picture that you have on your Facebook that is a couple shot of you through three decades.
Right.
Where you, and I would love to have you guys describe it, because it's not as if, now, I would describe you as fairly muscular right now, but you've gone through various iterations of body types over the years, have you not?
Yes.
Talk to us about body image and how, and don't ruin the illusion for me, because my illusion is that you guys are really comfortable in your skin.
Right.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. No problem, man.
Are you asking why did our bodies change?
Yeah, talk about that journey and just about generally body image in the gay community.
Interesting, because I might destroy your illusion.
Good.
When I met Dwayne, he was very much enthralled by big bodybuilders and muscle guys, and he sort of drilled it into my head that we need to get muscular and get bigger.
Did I do that?
You sort of used to say that all the time.
Huh.
But you were a teenager, so you were sort of a little more, I think you were more, interested in the image.
Yeah, probably.
Than
that.
What's
inside. Sure, I'll buy that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we always kind of worked out, but I guess we didn't really sort of take it seriously until later.
And do you encounter people? I would imagine people are asking you for fitness tips all the time.
Yeah, we don't like to give it.
What's that about?
What's that about?
First of all, you know what? Every person's different. Every body is different. Everyone has a different metabolism. You mentioned the three things you seem serious about, something, nutrition and fitness or something, whatever. Nutrition? No, that's out the door. I mean, we both pretty much have the same type of metabolism where we can eat absolutely anything. And, you know, people get pissed off who gain weight and look at us and say, you know, how can you eat the way you eat?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I, you know. So again, I can't really give nutrition advice to people because I'm not a nutritionist.
Okay.
And again, everybody is different. But no, I mean, yeah, our bodies have changed. We at one point in our lives, probably with the skinniest picture, maybe in the middle one or whatever, we were vegan for maybe about 10 years.
Okay.
You know, and when you're vegan, you're skinny. You're very skinny.
And hungry.
And hungry.
You know, I think part of it is that we get bored easily and we move on to other things. And if you look through our pictures, you've seen we've changed our look a lot over the years. So I think it was just like, okay, now let's be muscular. You know, we've been vegan and now let's do something different.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't think we set out to do that. It's just sort of...
What happened?
I don't know what happened.
No, it's sort of what happened.
Yeah, it's sort of what happened. Yeah, it's sort of what happened. You know, we didn't say, I mean, yeah, when I was younger, you're right. I thought, oh, when I grow up, I want to be a bigger guy. Yeah. But then I, you know, that you outgrow that, but then it just happened sort of anyway. Yeah.
Now, the other thing that I love about you two is that you are very playful, and that comes across just in your Facebook posts. You're very playful guys. You're very playful sexually. You can rock an innuendo like I've never seen before. And we're learning that as this interview goes on as well. Have you seen changes? Cause you've also done, have you guys been living, you've been living in New York City for a long time.
Yeah.
Have you seen people, that playfulness, do you still see that around you? There was a great piece, I was actually just reading this piece in the Huffington Post today about how Grindr is kind of changing gay male sexuality, particularly in New York City, just that people are not being as playful. They're just being much more like, let's go hook up, and this is more of a business of hooking up. Is that something that you guys have seen over the years?
Dude, forget it, yeah. What, are you kidding me? This city has changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the whole vibe of the city, the whole feel, the whole demographic has changed a lot.
Well, we notice people don't even make eye contact with you, and we like to not just make eye contact, we like to start conversations with people, and you really can't do that so much anymore.
You know, it used to be you wait on a line somewhere. You could turn to the person in front of you, behind you, say something, you know, and then a little conversation would start.
Yeah.
Now they look at you, they're probably in their iPhone or something, or, yeah, or texting or something, and they ignore you, or you might just get a little knowing,
yeah,
smile.
So, but you know what we do, though? We purposely say things to instigate.
Huh.
And we try to say things that will maybe anger people or disgust them or shock them, whether when we're in the supermarket or at the gym.
Just to get a reaction.
Yeah.
And you know what, Ken? We don't get a reaction.
Wow.
We start laughing. We make each other laugh, but people don't even react. I think they just sort of pretend it's not happening, which would never have happened years ago. So
I feel like if I move back, I'm going to have to stay with you guys. Otherwise, I'm not going to be comfortable moving back to my city there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, and again, you know, you that little glancy, cruisy thing walking down the street doesn't seem to exist anymore either.
Huh. Look,
yeah,
at this. All right. Well, we're gonna have to do more research on that one. I'll come to New York City. I'll do some hands-on research on that one.
Yeah, and tongue on, and yeah.
Well, we do have to talk about your musical selections, which I'm not even sure if you guys remember what your music. I have them all here, so we'll talk about them. But you guys submitted these musical choices months and months ago when we were first going to have you on the show. But here you are today. Are you guys ready to talk about your musical selections for this week's episode?
Yes, and I remember because I didn't remember, but I looked at our old emails today and I said, oh, that's what I chose?
Well, you're stuck with it because that's what we're playing. So this is the part of the show, Dick and Dwayne, where you tell our listening audience what some of your musical selections say about Dick and Dwayne. It's a little bit of a self-analysis for our listening audience. And based on what we've already heard, I'm really not worried about your ability to do self-analysis. So this should be good. This should be good. And I'll put you both each on the spot for one song, and then I'll have you do one song together. So we'll start with you, Dick. What about the infamous Gloria by Laura Branigan? What does Gloria say about Dick and Dwayne?
Well, that was the first comedic sketch we ever wrote together, and it was spontaneous. It was on one of our earliest dates. We were driving around in Dwayne's car, and that song came on the radio. It was a new song. That's how old we are. And we just started acting it out as if it were a play. And we just cracked each other up, and we kept doing it probably the next 10 years for ourselves.
Nice.
And then we started doing it on stage, and it became our signature piece. So that's a significant song to us, I guess, as far as Dick and Dwayne.
Nice, nice. All right, Dwayne, you're up. You ready? What does Beautiful People by Melanie, who I don't even really know. Now I know because I have the song. What does Beautiful People by Melanie say about Dick and Dwayne?
Dr. Phil?
We're giving our listeners a different look into Dick and Dwayne. Just go with it, Dwayne.
Well, to be fair to Dwayne, he really didn't even know that I chose that song.
I know. That's what makes this so much more fun for me. All right, I'm going to make you...
No. Clear, I'm on it. Spotlight, please. Microphone. All right. What does it say about Dick and Dwayne?
Yes.
It says a lot about how we would actually like to see the world and we thought the world would be when we grew older in it.
Nice.
And unfortunately, we're not seeing it.
Oh. Well, we need to make that change then in the world.
Well, yeah.
But why? What's the message of the song, Beautiful People, Dwayne?
Well, let's see. It's we live in the same world. We share the same things. We should be able to live in peace and harmony together.
See? You didn't need prep work. That was better than the other guy who did prep work for the show. Not naming any names, Dick. All right, now this is the one. I mean, could this be more significant for the two of you? And I'll let you both take it. How about Luther Vandross's song, Never Too Much? Any special significance for Dick and Dwayne?
Yeah. Now that is our song.
I was such a romantic when I was a teenager and we were first together, and I kept saying we needed to have a photo album, first of all. That was most important to me, a photo album. And we started taking pictures of ourselves right from the start.
And if you notice, we got a lot of pictures of ourselves.
I think it's fantastic.
I wanted all these romantic things, and I said, we have to have a song. And right after I said we have to have a song, that song came on. And we were like, it was in the early morning. Weren't we in your car all night long making out?
Yeah, we did that a lot.
And like the sun was coming up and that song came on and I said, oh, that's a perfect song. That's our song.
There you go. And Dwayne, you agreed because you were just saying, all right, as long as you keep doing my art history homework, fine, it's our song.
And the thing is, we could never get too much of each other. How's that?
How many people can say that?
Yeah.
Well, then there came a time where we did have enough of each other.
Yeah.
But that's another episode.
I was going to say, should we save them?
We're chapter 7.
Well, so now tell everybody what you're working on now, because you guys have so many different projects going on.
Did you watch the video that I sent you?
I did tell everyone about the video, which I can only barely talk about on this show.
Which one did you see?
The one, Uncle Faithful. Old Faithful?
Uncle. Oh, yeah.
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 Well, we're working on we're going to start doing our web series.
Okay.
And it's going to be all this funny stuff that I write about on Facebook, which is usually has to do with something dumb that Dwayne said or did. But we've also started to do these comedic porn videos. And I don't really know how it started. It just sort of grew out of our feeling that sex is funny. And we usually laugh when we're having sex, which if we're with another guy, they don't usually understand that. We get a little offended, but anyway, so we started making
these. Let's put it this way. We don't take sex too seriously.
There you go.
Yeah.
So we started just fooling around, shooting some stuff, possibly for the web series, and it sort of started to become pornographic, and we hit on something, because people have been watching it and telling us that they've never seen anything like it, that they've never seen something that was actually sexy as well as funny at the same time. I think there's been porn that was inadvertently funny.
Right.
Or accidentally funny, right?
I'm still struggling with the concept of you guys with a third guy, and you guys start laughing, and you have to say to this third guy, oh, don't worry about it, it's a private joke. Remember that part earlier in the interview where I said I wanted to stay with you guys for the weekend? Not so much anymore. Now, where can our listeners go to learn all about these cool things that you're doing?
They can go to Facebook.
Okay.
And we're at facebook.com/DickandDwayne. You want to spell it for me?
D-I-C-K.
Why are you spacing? There's no space. You just spell it out, honey. It's facebook.com/DickandDwayne.
Can you spell it out?
D-I-C-K-A-N-D-D-U-A-N-E.
Yeah, my name's D-U-A-N-E.
But why are you pausing for, there's no spaces in between the words. It's a URL.
This has so become a billable hour for me. I love it.
It's a dramatic pause.
Yeah, but you put a pause and then people think that there's like a pause or a dot or something.
I'm drawing people in.
This is like what you do when you give me a phone number and you pause too long and I totally lose it.
Well, you give the phone numbers too fast.
I would also like to remind our listening audience that I actually did prep for this show, but I didn't really need to use any of it.
I'm sorry.
No, it's great. I love it.
Well, unfortunately, our pornographic comedic videos, they got removed from YouTube and Vimeo. And we tried to explain to them that it wasn't really porn. It was art. You know, I gave this really great explanation about Andy Warhol and and John and Yoko and how all these great artists have done films that involved some nudity, but they weren't buying it.
They weren't buying it.
We had to put them on XTube.
They're over on XTube.
You know, yes, you can search for us on XTube, and it's also Dick and Dwayne, D-I-C-K-A-N-D-D-U-A-N-E.
Yeah, we're always Dick and Dwayne.
Okay, so perfect. I just wanted to do the dramatic pause for you, to put it in there, Well, I'm telling you, I love reading your Facebook updates and Twitter too. Are we not starting with the Twitter?
Yes, Twitter. We're at
Twitter too.
Yes.
Dick and Dwayne. D-I-C-K-A-N-D-D-U-A-N-E.
I just feel like when, not if, because we've already established that you're going to be in the 2012 Out 100, I just feel like the title of the page is going to be Dramatic Pause.
Dramatic Pause. Or I'll show you my notes later.
Exactly. Oh, my God. I can't wait to finish this interview and go use that line. I'll let you guys know how it turns out. All right, so folks are going to have to stroll on over to your website and check out all the cool things that you're doing. And, of course, go to the Facebook because it's you're very entertaining. You two are very entertaining.
Thank you. So are you.
Well,
yeah, you're a good interviewer.
Well, thank you. I can't do it by myself. I need people on the other end. So I feel this was a group effort.
Good.
Hey, the three of us did pretty good, huh?
The three of us did quite well. We did quite well. We didn't even need the soundproof booth.
Yeah.
You know, we did a talk show years ago, mm-hmm. and they ambushed us, and they put us in soundproof booths, and it was horrifying because I needed to know what Dwayne was saying, and it was live. It was live and national TV.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Wasn't that scary? Especially because I need to be able to tell him what to say. And I was like, oh my God. And we only had a brief, like, split second when one of us was coming back on screen, one of us was leaving, and we're on the air. I'm saying, what did
they
say to
you? Yeah. I thought they were going to do that to us. Yeah. I sat there stone-faced.
Well, I have to say, I mean, Dwayne, you said it a little bit earlier when talking about beautiful people. I think that there is a shortage of people who are being playful, who are being beautiful in their own way. And one of the things that you guys bring to the table as individuals and as a team, because you are a team, is you bring out that playful. You bring out that, hey, this is supposed to be fun. We're supposed to be having a good time doing this. We're supposed to be entertaining each other. And while it is good fun, it's just so, I hope you both know how enormously appreciated it is by just the entirety of the community.
Thank you. You know, actually, we've heard that, and I've been surprised. People have said, they've written to us and said they were surprised that because we're sexy or muscular or whatever, that they were surprised that we were playful and funny and didn't take ourselves seriously. I guess the two don't usually go together, being attractive.
The twain don't meet.
But yeah, so thank you. Yeah, thanks for getting that.
And you guys are gonna keep doing what you're doing?
Yeah.
All right. An absolute pleasure having you both on the show, Dick and Dwayne. All the best. Alright, and we are back punctuated with a hello, Jody.
Hello, Ken.
Hello, Jodelia. How many people call you Jodelia?
You're the first one ever.
Today?
Today.
Look at that.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in the we're gonna do some politics.
Ooh, politics.
Tanya and I usually cover the politics.
Okay.
You and I usually do the school stories, but we're gonna do the politics.
Okay.
So there are, I don't know if you've heard, there is a Republican presidential nomination thing going on.
Oh, really?
So we're down to four.
Uh-huh.
You could pick any one of the four,
uh-huh.
and I will have something to say about them because they are in this week's news about something gay. So you pick yeah. just any one of the four.
And to see what they have about a gay anything?
Yes.
Okay. Newt Gingrich.
Newt Gingrich, that was a weak one. So it's good that you started with that one. That was a weak one. Well, Newt Gingrich, it's funny. The gay stories about Newt Gingrich are just about the whole open marriage, and his ex-wife said he wanted an open marriage, and people are saying, so marriage has to be, according to you, Newt, between a man, one man and one woman, unless you're Newt Gingrich, and then it can be many women. So that was a weak one. Name another one.
Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney. So Mitt Romney released his taxes this week. Did you hear about this? Holy cow. Does he give a lot of money to anti-gay organizations? Because that's part of your taxes. So the Human Rights Campaign pointed out in a report by CNN that Romney's charitable foundation gave at least $35,000 to anti-gay groups in 2010, with $10,000 going to our nearby, I say our just geographically, Massachusetts Family Institute, which ran radio ads last year warning parents that a transgender civil rights bill could lead to all manners of danger in bathrooms.
God.
Yeah. One woman said in the 8 radio ad that if the legislation passed, which it did, and we celebrated that. We were down at the Trans Day of Remembrance in Greenfield the day that that passed.
Right.
This woman said in the ad that she wouldn't let her daughter use the restroom alone anymore. And the group's website showed a restroom door with the provocative message, quote, "Who's going to be waiting for your wife and daughter?" And so that organization got $10,000 from Mitt Romney, and $25,000 went to the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. The fund is well known to LGBT activists for defending the Mormon Church when it was discovered to have financially backed Proposition 8 in California. And then he also so there's that, and that's not good.
No.
But then other folks were saying, oh, well, how terrible is it how much he gave to the Church of Latter-day Saints? But he's a Mormon, and part of being a Mormon is tithing and giving 10% of your earnings. And are parts of LDS very much anti-gay? Absolutely.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, and to be clear, he gave millions and millions of dollars to the Church of Latter-day Saints. But that's, I don't know. I think you can expect that was going to happen.
Right. It's his faith community.
It's his faith community, and it wasn't, I think we're going to get angry emails about that, but it wasn't specifically earmarked for anti-gay things.
No.
It just tends to go there.
Right.
It just tends to go there.
Yes.
So there's that. Name another one.
Ron Paul.
I actually don't have a Ron Paul story. Name the last one. I mean, Ron Paul is just, I don't know. Ron Paul's not much in the news because Ron Paul, he seems to have fallen out of contention. And the big deal with Ron Paul will always be his newsletter that he did or didn't write. We're not sure if he wrote it, even though it's called the Ron Paul newsletter and it had all these anti-gay things in it. But he might not have written it, even though it's called the Ron, anyway.
Okay, so Rick Santorum.
Rick Santorum, he's a treat.
Ooh.
So he was at a campaign stop at the Community Christian Academy in Stuart, Florida, just a few days ago, and he told a woman there that her gay son engages in unhealthy activity that the government should not, quote, promote. So this is what he said. And I don't have the beginning of the story, how she approached him, but obviously she must have said to him, I have a gay son.
Right.
And then he had this to say, quote, everybody in America should have the same rights, and I would agree with that. There's more. Everyone in America should have rights that are endowed to them by the Creator. That's capital C Creator.
Yep.
Those are unalienable rights. And your son, just like everyone else here, has those unalienable rights.
Okay.
There's more.
Okay.
There are certain things that government does that gives people privileges in order to promote activity that are healthy for society and are best for society. He needs a grammar check. Mm. And those things we promote would give people advantages or benefits, government benefits, because we think that is healthy activity. Mm-hmm. Mothers and fathers coming together, forming healthy marriages, having children and raising those children. Every American child has the right, and the government should support the right to have and know their mother and father and be raised by their mother and father. Mm-hmm. I barely even follow that, but he doesn't think that gay people are healthy, but we knew that already.
Yeah.
I don't know. How much do we keep covering this? It's almost pointless. It gives him traction in certain parts of the Republican community.
Right.
The folks in the LGBT and ally community who think that, I mean, keep highlighting it. Let's just keep covering and saying, oh gosh, look what Rick Santorum is saying. But we need to get past the part where we think that him saying this is going to cost him votes.
Right. He didn't have those votes to begin with. We were all...
Exactly.
I feel like we've known about these guys for a while.
Yeah.
Because they've all been kind of out there for a while saying these things. So it isn't news.
It's not really. News. And he would not be saying these things. I know I've said this before on the show, so apologies that I'm being repetitive, folks. But he would not be saying these things if some... It's all scripted.
Oh, yeah.
No one's off the cuff. It's all completely scripted.
Yep.
He would not be saying these things if there weren't someone on his campaign staff saying, this will help you.
Right.
So the idea that people, oh my gosh, can you believe what he said? That's going to cost him votes. He knows. But he also knows that it's shoring up support with other folks.
Yep.
So, I don't know, I loved that, because all eyes are on Florida, right? Florida's next.
Yes.
So I loved when they had that whole campaign a few years ago when President Obama was running for office, where Sarah Silverman, did you see any of this? She had the whole campaign on Facebook, talk to your boobie in Florida, that everyone should talk to their grandparents who live in Florida and get them to vote for Obama. So I think this is another case where talk to your grandparents about Rick Santorum, about Mitt Romney. He's given a lot of money to anti-gay groups, about Newt Gingrich, because he's just something else. And I don't know, Ron Paul's hanging out somewhere. I love the Ron Paul newsletter. He may or may not have written it.
Right.
May or may not have written it.
Yeah.
So I will say that Wanda Sykes, who I enjoy.
Oh, she's great.
Immensely.
She
had this to say about our buddy Rick Santorum. Mm. She was on The Tonight Show. Mm-hmm. Openly gay comedian Wanda Sykes. God, I would love to get her on the show. Mm. She weighed in on Rick Santorum. She said, quote, "If you really believe homosexuality is a sin and we're going to hell, then why the fuss? If you think I'm going to hell, then you've already won. So shut the hell up and let God take care of it. You leave me alone," which I thought was...
That's excellent.
Right on. I don't know if we're allowed to say some of those words, but someone will send me an email and tell me you weren't supposed to say that. Now, say you lived in Tennessee.
Okay.
And how long? You lived in Tennessee for a while.
In the alternate universe where I'm called Jodelia, yes.
That is where you live. There.
Yes.
Have you even ever been to Tennessee?
No, but I've met some really lovely people from Tennessee.
Some of my best friends are from there. That's not even true. So this is what... someone who was elected to office in Tennessee said.
Okay.
So this was just one day after Philip Parker, who's a gay teen in Tennessee, he committed suicide. A state lawmaker told one of his constituents that gay individuals... Well, wait, I don't even want to say what he said yet because I want to do the setup.
Okay.
So Kristen M. Johnson is a lesbian student, which is so funny that that's how they classify it, a student who identifies as a lesbian.
Yes.
And she's at Middle Tennessee State University. And she wrote to Representative John Reagan... asking him to oppose a license to bully bill that would protect those who bully based on religious or moral grounds. Whoa. By the way, Newt Gingrich, totally for that. So he wants on day one, we talked about this a few weeks ago, Newt Gingrich has said on day one he wants to establish the Commission for Religious Freedoms or something like that about church and state, and that's one of the first things that he wants to focus on is making sure that legislation goes through that allows for religious exemptions for people and their hate speech. So there's another Newt Gingrich story for you. So this Kristen M. Johnson wrote to Representative John Reagan. She wrote, quote, "The threat to gay or lesbian children, yes, they do exist, or even to children rumored to be gay is quite overt. There is no mistaking that the purpose and language of this bill are to justify and defend anti-gay bullying, which has already caused too much pain and driven too many children to take their own lives." Okay, so good.
Yeah.
It was a good email.
Yeah,
I'm sure that wasn't the entirety of it, and she said all these other great things, but that was great. So Representative John Reagan responded to her.
Mm-hmm.
Representative implies to me he was elected.
Correct.
Perhaps appointed.
Right.
Probably elected.
Probably.
This is what he wrote. He responded, he wrote a long email, but these are just some of the highlights. Quote, "Logically, homosexuality is defined by behavior. I.e., unless one engages in sexual activity with a member of the same sex, he or she is not a homosexual. The term sexual orientation is a description of feelings. Feelings do not control the behavior of a mentally healthy adult human being." He then went on to compare homosexuality to murder, rape, overeating, and prostitution. What do you do? Do you move?
Yeah.
Do you move? Or do we just say that every single state has a representative... who would say something? Do we have that? We're in our own world here.
We are in our own world. Because in New Hampshire,
I'm sure that they do.
Oh, they absolutely do have those people. And I mean,
it's why the
debate is raging over there. They are torn over this kind of stuff. And it's why the bill's coming back to repeal gay marriage and turn it into the civil unions thing that anybody could have. Even brothers and sisters could have it because they're looking at it more as a domestic partnership kind of thing rather than anything at all to do with love or family kind of
thing. You can't tell all of our Tennessee listeners to move.
No, I'm not going to tell all of them to move. But would I move?
I would totally move.
I would totally move. But I feel horrible for those people that they live in a place that is so unwelcoming, so... not supportive of who they are as people, that it is not representing them appropriately. It's totally representing this one segment to get them elected. Whether they actually hold those values or not, I don't know. I mean, maybe they do. Maybe they really do.
And this is not to say that Representative John Reagan speaks for all of Tennessee. He doesn't speak for all of Tennessee.
No.
But this is a guy who holds office. This is not a head of an anti-LGBT nonprofit who can just say, this is a guy who was elected.
Right.
And there's no way that he got elected and then he said things like this and people said, oh gosh, I didn't even know that that's how he feels.
Right.
He said this stuff before he got elected.
Right.
There's no way that all of a sudden, oh my gosh, he's anti-gay. You knew he was anti-gay when you elected him.
Right. And then you voted for him.
And then you voted for him.
Because he's that. So, I'm still flabbergasted that people who are so open like that are able to function in public office, that they're allowed to function in public office because it endangers.
And go to schools.
And speak.
Now, do I think that he's going to a middle school? And I'm sure he does a million middle school and high school appearances.
Right.
Do I think that he's going to middle school and high school and saying these things? No. But
no.
He's allowed to.
He could. He could do it.
And your public record does not get divorced from what you're saying in a school. Like if you're speaking in a school, you're also standing for all the anti-gay thing. I don't know. Representative John Reagan from Tennessee. Cynthia Nixon. Now you are a huge Sex and the City fan.
No.
I've never seen an episode.
Me neither.
I've seen bits and pieces. I've actually never seen a full episode. And I know that's going to get us in trouble. Send an email to Jody@thisshowisogay.com for this one. But do you know Cynthia Nixon? There, I'll show you her picture, even though I never let you look at my computer.
I know, you don't.
That's Cynthia, you know Cynthia Nixon?
No.
All right. Well, she's in a lot of different stuff. She played Miranda on Sex. I still know. See, this is why my brain is so useless. Because even though I've never seen it, I could tell you any number of facts about sex. I could win a Sex and the City, some sort of trivia contest. So she had come out a few years ago, but then she really created a stir this week. So she's in a Broadway revival. She's coming up. They're doing a Broadway revival of Wit, which is a great show.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah.
So she basically said in a recent interview with the New York Times, well, let me say actually what she said.
Okay.
Quote, I gave a speech recently, an empowerment speech to a gay audience, and it included the line, I've been straight and I've been gay and gay is better. And they tried to get me to change it because they said it implies that homosexuality can be a choice. And for me, it is a choice. She went on to tell the New York Times, quote, I say it doesn't matter if we flew here or we swam here. It matters that we are here and we are one group. And let us stop trying to make a litmus test for who is considered gay and who is not.
Hmm.
So people are not happy about her saying this at all. One writer said, quote, it's not a choice unless you consider my opting to date a guy with brown hair versus a guy with blonde hair a choice. It's only a choice among flavors I already like. And if you like both flavors, men and women, you're bisexual, you're not gay. So please don't tell people that you are gay and that gay people can choose their sexual orientation, will it out of nowhere because they can't. And when you say, okay, so he goes on. And that's America blog writer John Aravosis. So now she's given a second interview and she's still straying away from the word bisexual, saying it's not a word that she identifies with.
You know what? She has every right to label herself however she wants, and that's the choice. If she wants to say that there's a choice, there is a choice in how she labels herself. So if she's chosen to label herself as straight in the past and now is choosing to label herself as gay, that is the choice. The feelings she has inside her and whether she chooses to recognize them, that is also the choice. So I can certainly understand both sides of this, feeling like, no, you can't tell me that being gay and having those feelings is a choice. It certainly is a choice as to whether what you do with it.
Right.
That is the choice.
I think people feel a lot more betrayed by her saying it because she identifies with the LGBT community.
Sure.
So Rick Santorum saying that it's not just a choice, but that it's unhealthy. We don't even come after him nearly as much as we come after Cynthia Nixon because she's a member of the LGBT community.
And that's terrible. That's terrible. We shouldn't be attacking ourselves. And for people choosing to label in whatever way they choose to label it. This is what I love about the workshop I've taken twice now with Robin Oakes.
Robin Oakes.
Love her and her workshop on labeling what's in a name and how people choose to label at any given time. And so frequently, particularly people who could by outside observers be labeled as bisexual have said, you know what, I don't jive with that label. I don't like that label. And there's so much loaded in that statement about why you don't like that label. Because bisexuals get a really bad rap about who they are. Well, they're promiscuous. They're greedy. They're, You don't know where they're going. They're just confused. There's all sorts of things.
She's out.
She's a good
person. She's at
least
out as compared to all of the LGBT celebrities who are not out. Now,
right. If
Cynthia Nixon had given an interview to the New York Times and Cynthia Nixon had, do I love this quote? No, I don't love the quote. But if she had given an interview and said, being gay is a choice, that's different.
That is
than
very
what
different
she said.
Than what she's
she
saying.
She said,
yeah.
And for me, it is a choice.
Right.
Do I wish that, no one would say that it's a choice? Yes. Because I think it just gives ammunition to other people. And,
sure.
But that's also because for me,
right.
And I don't speak for you,
right.
For me, it's not a choice.
Right. It's just who you are,
yes.
And that's that. And
she didn't say being gay is a choice.
No, that's not
what
she said.
She said, for me, it is a choice.
Right.
And I actually kind of appreciate the whole rest of that quote. I'll read it again. I say, yeah. It doesn't matter if we flew here or we swam here. It matters that we are here and we are one group. And let us stop trying to make a litmus test for who is considered gay and who is considered not.
I
really appreciate that. It's so funny when I originally put this story up on my screen to talk about for today, this is not the direction I was going to go with it. But it strikes me that it's so hypocritical. Now, I'm not saying that we should out anyone. I don't like outing.
No.
But give me a break, some of you celebrities who are not out, who are secretly like, upset with Cynthia Nixon for saying that it's a choice. You know who's out now? And I totally didn't know until very recently.
I don't know.
Mo Rocca.
Who's that?
Mo Rocca is on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. He used to be on The Daily Show, and he came out during the Six Pack podcast, which I enjoy immensely. Shout out to the Six Pack podcast.
Okay.
And I didn't even know. So I listen to him every single week.
Cool.
So good job, Mo Rocca. I can get him on the show.
Yeah.
So you want the Minnesota story?
Yes.
Okay. The headline is All Minnesotans to Be Deported. No, the headline is... The headline is Minnesota secedes. Okay.
No, it's not.
Minnesota finds new species called lengthfisk. What's it called? What's the thing she makes?
Lefse.
Whatever.
And then there's lutefisk. Two different things.
But if you put them in front of me, would they look exactly the same?
No.
They would look exact. They're both gay and they both chose it. They both are attracted to other. They're attracted to each other. The lefse and the lutefisk.
Lutefisk.
Whatever. I think there's a superhero named Lutefisk.
Lutefisk? Now
that's something else.
That's something else entirely.
Maybe that's okay. Anyway, I don't even want to talk about Minnesota. All right, let's talk about Minnesota.
Yes.
So, in Minnesota's Anoka-Hennepin School District.
Oh yeah.
Which is, it covers several Twin Cities suburbs.
Yep.
Now they're under scrutiny because of a rash of they've had more of the student suicides than almost any other place in the country.
Yikes.
So they've had a lot. So to address the problem, the school board is considering scrapping a longstanding policy calling for teacher and staff neutrality in discussions of sexual orientation.
Mm.
A replacement proposed last year still mandated neutrality, but acknowledged the importance of talking about, quote, controversial issues.
Hmm.
At a board meeting earlier this month, some teachers and students said that the policy would be no improvement.
Hmm.
Yet another policy unveiled this week calls for neutrality but drops the word controversial, instead saying that it covers, quote, political, religious, social, or economic issues in which conflicting views are held by a broad segment of people. It also says that teachers and staff should, quote, affirm the dignity and self-worth of all students regardless of sexual orientation and other characteristics. So folks are saying that this latest policy is really, really great. And Tammy Aberg, who's a mother of bullied student, gay student Justin Aberg, who committed suicide, she called the language an improvement but said she would prefer to see the policy on sexual orientation rescinded, not replaced. Mm. Some parents there in the Lutefisk capital favored keeping the original policy, saying the revisions were an attempt to promote, I almost feel like you could fill in the blank, a gay agenda,
of course.
We send our children to school not to have lessons on homosexuality woven into the classroom curriculum, said parent Rebecca Vodhat, as quoted in the Star Tribune. She went on to say, this is an abuse of children under the camouflage of education. This is an abuse of children under the camouflage of education. You know, making Minnesotans eat lefse is an abuse of children.
No. Lutefisk is the abusive one.
Oh, is that right?
No, lefse.
Oh, lefse is the stuff on the meatballs.
Bread. Yeah, lefse is the potato flatbread.
Okay.
That's really yummy. You put butter on it. You roll it up. It's very tasty.
Oh, I enjoyed that. Yeah, I've had that. You've had that. Which one is that?
Lutefisk is...
Which is the rolled up one you just said?
That's lefse.
I enjoy the lefse.
You enjoy the lefse.
Okay.
The lutefisk, however, is more like eating something on a dare. Because it's cod that's been dried and reconstituted with lye.
That is an abuse of children under the camouflage of education. That's horrible.
That's what lutefisk is.
Well, what's the meatballs thing?
It's just Swedish meatballs.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not called anything?
They're called Swedish meatballs. I mean, I think that...
Lompoke.
No.
Yeah, that's a place in California.
No, I wish I could remember how to say it in Swedish, but it's just Swedish meatballs.
All right. So that's going on in Minnesota. We're going to do one more. Another school story over in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Oh.
I've never been to Hershey Park.
I have. Only for a U2 concert. That was amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Look at that. Advocates from the AIDS Healthcare Foundation are protesting outside the Milton Hershey School today. Hmm. This is just today. To protest the recent rejection of a boy by the Milton Hershey School because he is HIV positive. It's amazing that we get to still do things like this, isn't it?
Yeah.
Michael Weinstein, president of the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, he said in a news release that protesters will be armed with signs and banners that that say, no kisses for Hershey. Okay. That's not really the best. But that's good. Keep protesting.
Yeah.
They are targeting the candy maker because of their organizational ties to the school. The protesters are urging three Hershey board members who also serve on the school's board to denounce the rejection. The AIDS Law Project of Pennsylvania filed a lawsuit on behalf of the unidentified boy in U.S. District Court in Philadelphia, claiming the School for Disadvantaged Students violated the Americans with Disabilities Act. School officials acknowledged that the 13-year-old boy was denied admission because of his medical condition. They say they believed it was necessary to protect the health. What the hell? We're still in Ryan White
land.
Come on. They said it was necessary to protect the health and safety of the 1,850 others enrolled in the residential institution, which serves children in pre-kindergarten to 12th grade. I mean, what are we? Give me a break.
Yeah.
Give me a break. So they have launched a website called www.endhivstigma.org. So please go over to www.endhivstigma.org. I remember Ryan White being on Donahue, being on Oprah.
Yep.
The Oprah episode where she went to wherever she went. I don't remember the place. And they recently revisited that before her show went off the air, when the town shut down the pool
because
the HIV positive gentleman swam in it. She revisited that, and some people still defend that. But give me a break. This is 2012. And
it's ridiculous. Yeah.
All right, we're just going to... That's not the happiest note for us to end on, but
no.
That's happening there in the Pennsylvania. Mm. All right, so folks, as always, did you check out your shout-out in the comments?
I did.
Oh, it was nice.
Yeah, it was really great.
So folks should stroll on... And I changed your bio too, right?
Oh, yes, you told me you did.
So folks should stroll on over to this show. I told you I did. That means I did. So folks should... I just caught that. Folks should stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com to read Jody's bio, because it has been updated, and check out upcoming guests, and subscribe to our show on iTunes, because it makes it a lot easier instead of downloading it every week. And we're going to have new buttons there on the website. I'm almost caving, and I might start doing Twitter. I know, I don't really want to. I might not. I'm not so into it, but
maybe people should email us to let us know if they think we should.
Email us, drop us an email at either jody@thisshowisogay.com. And she'll send you back recipes on Lutefisk and lentsa, or send them to me, ken@thisshowisogay.com, to let me know if I should do Twitter, and we'll get everybody to weigh in on that. And go to the Facebook. Oh my gosh, the Facebook is so annoying right now, because, and it's not to say that our listeners are annoying, we love all of you, but there are 999 members right now in the Facebook group. Can someone please just join and push it over 1,000? Thank you.
That would be good.
So that's all the things that are happening. Of course, our thanks to Dick and Dwayne for being such a treat earlier this show, and we'll certainly have them back. Thank you to you, Jody.
Thank you, Ken.
Get out there, folks. Go do some incredible things. And while you're doing them, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay.